Hey, everybody, this is Lolita E. Walker, and what a show I have for you today. I want you to imagine this. Imagine yourself as a first-generation American, okay? Now, imagine you have made it all the way to work on Wall Street. Life is feeling pretty good, right? Imagine now going to law school, being at the top of your class, owning a law practice, and boom, federal prison. No kids. No husband, no job, no freedom.
As much as my soul was going to learn some real life experiences in this lifetime through this experience of mine, so were my children.
Imagine the choices that we make leading to pain and then how we can turn that pain into purpose. That is on today's show, episode 27 of Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. Are you ready? Grab a pen because we are going in. Let's go. Welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker, the podcast that coaches you up while meeting you exactly where you are. Grab your water, tea, or something stronger and allow this podcast to help you feel the power in your pause. Come on in and join the conversation. Let's go. Hey, y'all. As usual, we start off every episode with a powerful affirmation from Walker and Walker Enterprises. And today is no different. Today's affirmation is, I am the passion that fuels my power to turn my pain into my purpose. I'm gonna say that one more time. I am the passion that fuels my power to turn my pain into my purpose. Absolutely. To grab your powerful deck of 40 card affirmations, go ahead and go to lolitawalker.com/shop. Giving a super hey to all of you all who are returning. Welcome back. Welcome back. And a special hello for all of you all who are new to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. Listen, around here, we break things down into three layers. The first is all about coaching. Now, this is just where I leave you with a couple tangibles to challenge your thinking just a little bit. Then there are cocktails. Now, this is not about what you're sipping on, although there's absolutely no judgment. It is more about the greatness and celebrating that every single time you show up to this here kitchen table. And quite frankly, you got to celebrate it every time you show up to any table, okay? That's a reminder. And then finally, there are some good old-fashioned conversations. Now, sometimes the conversations are with you and I, one-on-one. Then sometimes I bring in a special invited guest. And today, Rashmi Aaron. Now, I told you a little bit about her at the onset of this episode. Doesn't it make you just pause where you are and say, this could be me? We are only one decision away from imprisonment, right? Can you imagine? Well, wait till you hear her story when we get to conversations today in our third segment. But first, we have a short commercial break. We will be right back. So grab your CC&C journal from lolitawalker.com/podcast. Grab all these notes. Be clear for your reflections and go ahead and put some actions to what you are hearing today. Are you ready to shift to the next level so that you can stand in the greatness of where you are today? Are you ready to soar differently? Yep, I'm talking to you. You right there. Because what you know right now is that there is more for you. Absolutely. But listen to me when I tell you this right here. There is more in you. These are great nuggets for you to get every other week. Absolutely. When you are ready, consider Walker and Walker Enterprises for your personal, corporate, and executive coaching, consulting, and your speaking needs. It's time to act. It's time to acknowledge the gaps that exist. Concentrate on what needs to be done right here and right now to ensure your future success and tackle what is inside of your control. And what is inside of your control is to absolutely get the accountability that is going to move you forward. LolitaWalker.com. It's time for some coaching and a little bit of soul work. Hey, so today we're talking about how our pain can really help us get to our purpose that lives deep within us. When I really thought about the activity or the soul work that we were going to do today, I really thought about the notion that, you know, whether it's bank fraud or an extramarital affair or kind of bending the truth here and there, there's a boomerang
of our actions that lead to consequences. And it, in fact, always comes back, right? It might not come back right at the time, but our actions have consequences, which can then ultimately lead to pain in a way that we hold on to it and it festers within us. That leads to the power of forgiveness, which, by the way, I have a whole episode on Forgiveness Freeway or this journey of forgiveness. But really, us holding on to this pain, or the pain that we've caused, is sometimes penetrating so deeply in others. But really, if you think about it, it can even be physical pain that can lead to you really finding your purpose. I want to leave you with four considerations of how to begin to turn this pain that you might be feeling or experiencing into purpose. But the first thing I want you to do is this here. We're going to draw a Venn diagram. So we're going to have two interlocking circles side by side, and then we're going to have one that's at the top, and all of these connect. This nice shaded region right in the middle. And that shaded region is pain. Imagine pain being at the center of where you are right now. Okay, just imagine for a minute. And in those three circles that are around, we're going to put passion, power, and purpose. All of this is connecting. Remember back to our affirmation that kicked us off. The affirmation was that I am passion that fuels my power, which will turn my pain into purpose. You see how that's connecting right there? And I want you to affirm that, because sometimes it's that pain that keeps us really stagnant and we don't see a way forward. I want you to look at that and imagine yourself. I want you to write out, how are you going to take your passion and allow that to fuel your power to help drive the purpose of why you are here? As always, this is coming in an acronym. And so our acronym today for these four considerations is PAIN, P-A-I-N. The P, right? You already know what this is. It is your pause. This intentional pause, gifting yourself permission to literally pause and feel the power within it. You don't have to move to everybody else's pace. You don't have to give an answer right in this moment. Give yourself permission to pause and to say, you know what, let me get back to you on that. And sometimes that let me get back to you on that might be directly to you. That A is about acknowledging where you are right now and then assessing your situation. Assessing the dominoes that might fall based on your decision. You're going to hear a lot about that today. That I is about intentionally choosing to move forward while you are sitting atop of your core values. Why do you allow your values to be questioned, or you move that value over to the side? Come on, let's set these boundaries around our values, because they are so important to the fabric of who we are. Think about your core values: integrity, honesty. Mine is faith. These are mine, but what are your core values? What do you stand upon that? Hey, if anybody challenges, if the decision that you're going to make challenges these core values, what are you going to do? Are there boundaries around it so you have permission to say no? Episode one, standing on your foundation, and what does that look like? If you don't know, or you need to reassess what the foundation is that you stand upon in this moment, check out episode one. I walk you through an exercise of you literally standing on your foundation and understanding what that foundation is made of. There's some soul work in there that's just for you. And that N is about narrating your story and allowing the breadcrumbs, these lessons of breadcrumbs, to really light your path. And our pain is always a story. But what are the lessons that you're going to keep with you? What are the breadcrumbs that you're actually going to pick up? Because all of them, you're not going to pick up. Some of them, remember we talked about in another episode when we talked about resilience, is some of them you're going to leave right there at that bus stop. But some of them are going to help to light your path as you move further into your purpose. And that is where you're showing up. So I want you to write those four again, because this soul work that I want you to do is really think about these four considerations that you can begin today. Start to turn that pain into purpose. You are here for a purpose. You are here, act in it. Allow it to be unleashed. We have this one life. And how dare us not be a light? How dare us allow our circumstances, our current situations keep us down so we are not shining that light. Don't be selfish. Come on, we're bigger and badder than that, y'all. You already know. So I want to say those again. The P is all about the pause. It's only in your pause that you could be your most creative self. And yes, you have heard that before. If you are not new to this kitchen table, think about it again. That A is about acknowledging where you are and then assessing your dominoes. Okay, assess your situation, assess your circumstance. And yes, I am standing right here. That I is about intentionally choosing to stand upon your core values, intentionally choosing to stand upon your faith, intentionally choosing to move, behave, act in your strengths. Making sense, right? And that N is about narrating your story, leveraging the breadcrumbs from these lessons, from this pain to really light the way, because you got work to do. And it starts right now inside of this moment.
It's time for some cocktails.
What are we celebrating today? What are we celebrating? Well, first, we are celebrating this 5-star review. It says, wow, forgiveness freeway. And this is written by Prince Place. Woo! What a powerful episode, it reads. Thank you so much for digging deep and sharing yourself with us. Your vulnerability is so inspiring. Thank you for these amazing soul work exercises. They are so helpful. I love them. I am up to date and can't wait for the next one. Yay! Cheers to you. Thank you so much for continuing to not only listen in, but to take the time and write a 5-star review. So appreciate it. And if you haven't, go ahead and write your review. Not only do I love to read them, but other people love to check them out as well. So please do that. And thank you in advance. I have another amazing cheers today. This second cheers is to Glenn Lundy of the hashtag Rise and Grind podcast. Let me tell you something. He has the most amazing guests, the best interactions, and we're on his social app Clubhouse. And I tell you, the power that is inside of that room every morning, if you are on there, you got to check it out because it is so juicy, so good. When you couple this soul work with that soul work, come on now, you walking, talking, and behaving differently. So this is a cheers to Glenn for all that you do. Thanks, sir. What else are we giving a cheers to? Well, I'm giving a cheers to you. I'm giving a cheers to you specifically as you really focus on those 4 considerations. Gifting yourself time to pause being the first consideration. Not allowing that pain to really take over you. Come on, we have too many remedies in order to make sure that we are healing that appropriately and we are moving forward. And that's really the focus, right? Where is your mindset? A forward mindset. And for that, I give you an amazing cheers. I want to give a cheers to Rashmi, our guest today, because the level of vulnerability that she shares here and that she shares in the world really is her taking ownership. And that's a part of pain too, acknowledging it and then owning the pieces of the puzzle that you've contributed to, taking the breadcrumbs that are along the way for the lessons that you've experienced, and then moving forward. So I want to give a cheers to her because sometimes we underestimate the power of our story. We underestimate how much it is to talk about the story, the bravery that comes in it. And then we also underestimate the power that it has to really transform us and to help us to move forward inside of our purpose. So this is a cheers as we move into this amazing conversation. Are you ready? Let's go.
It's time for some good old-fashioned conversations. Hey, Rashmi, and welcome to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. I am so excited that you are here. Hello.
Hi there. How are you, Lolita? I am so excited to be here as well. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to jump in and dive into some real courageous conversations with you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's so interesting. We met on a social platform, and the amazing piece is that through people's stories, you can just learn so much and you're able to pull so much forward. And when I heard your story, I was like, oh my gosh, I have got to have her on the podcast because it's all about what we're talking about today. Leveraging the power of your story and specifically how you turn your pain into purpose. So this is going to be so juicy. I love it.
Super exciting to be here. And, you know, I really feel like this topic is something that hopefully will resonate with your listeners in all respects. You know, people that do all different things, mothers, fathers, children, people that have made it and people that are struggling to make it. It's just something that I think we all at some point in our lives will deal with pain. And the question is how do we put that into purpose and really doing something passionate with our pain?
So before we get started, because I have so many questions just about that to jump into the conversation, why don't you start with telling the listeners who are here just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I am a woman of Indian descent. I am a first generation American. My parents were immigrants in the 70s from India. I grew up in Miami, Florida, and then I spent a few years in Chapel Hill, North Carolina in college at UNC. I went on to New York City and I was on Wall Street for a few years and then stayed in New York and went to law school at Columbia Law School, where I graduated top of my class and, you know, was pretty much that go-getter type A perfect child by all accounts. I came back to Miami by way of San Francisco, brief stint in San Francisco at a law firm, ended up practicing here in Miami for a law firm and then for the government as a county attorney for a period of time. Just as I was getting married, or after I got married, just as I was about to have children, I started my own law practice, which was in the real estate space. So that was 2004. In 2007, which is, of course, the heyday of real estate right before the market crashed, I had a client that was a real estate developer that I was introduced to. You know, at the time, I wanted a client so badly that I jumped at the opportunity. I ended up doing some work with this client who was engaged in some really creative transactions, which I realize now in hindsight, I didn't ask enough questions about, I didn't dig deep enough or do my due diligence. Long story short, 7 years later, I was indicted for bank fraud and conspiracy to commit bank fraud. And after a long soul searching mission and really sort of facing that dragon in the eye, I came to terms with the fact that I had made some bad decisions and had allowed some things to happen in my life with this client when I maybe could have stopped it. And as a lawyer, I'm held to a higher standard. I had the fiduciary duty. I should have asked more questions to at least at minimum walk away, but maybe even had tried to stop him had I gotten more information. As it turns out, he was committing a lot of different areas of fraud, one part of which I knew, and I just kind of justified and rationalized it away. A lot of that was based on the idea that, well, everybody else is doing the same thing. All the other developers are doing the same thing, which they were, by the way. Just happens to be that I'm the one that got indicted. I ended up serving 6 months in federal prison between 2015 and 16. And now that I've been home 5 years, I've been on like a, I would say, gut-wrenching, soul-searching mission of understanding how, through my pain, right, which of course I experienced a lot, and there was a lot of anxiety, and I had to forgive myself for going so off path. And ultimately, I came to an understanding that life happens for me, not to me, and something good would come out of it. I began to research behavioral ethics. I began to share my story vulnerably. I tell people I had to lose my freedom to gain complete freedom, because now I just am a completely transparent, vulnerable person. And I stand up in front of audiences, sometimes of 4,000 people in Vegas, down to 10 people in a conference room. You know, when I work with C-suite, like CEOs, I try to share my tale for the purpose of obviously creating the cautionary tale, but also allowing people themselves to enter into that courageous conversation with their own vulnerability. You know, I end up leading a lot of workshops now and retreats around the topic of ethics and integrity, leadership, vulnerability, overcoming adversity, right? There's a lot of things that have come out of my story. I really just try to stand for this idea that good people make bad decisions all the time, every day. The question is what are we going to do with that? How do we grow from it and learn from it? And I believe it's a responsibility that I have now to help other people from my own experience. So it's a little bit.
Yeah, you said so much in that. And there's so much I want to kind of unpack a little bit. Let's step back. Wow. Some of what you said was that, you know, hindsight is absolutely 20/20. We look back and like, oh, yeah, I absolutely should have seen that. What's two things that you can say that as a result of hindsight, you now do differently? So as a result of how you were as a lawyer, the things that you just kind of brushed off and let pass by, what's two things that you can leave the audience with today of, you know what, aha, this is what I absolutely do now in my everyday as a result of?
I would say the biggest thing that I do now is that I very actively, consciously make myself pause before decisions. And, you know, and by the way, we're not just talking about decisions in our professional lives, right? This applies mm-hmm. to all aspects of our lives, how we parent our children, how we are in our relationships, how we treat, I tell my kids how you treat the person at the cash register at the grocery store. That's a choice. Do the right thing. Be kind, right? That's a choice that the kids can make, that we can make. In the business context, we are always facing these decisions that sometimes out of haste or convenience, we want to jump to a quick decision because mm-hmm. it's just quicker and easier, right? But that's not always the right decision. And yeah, you know, 90% of the time you get away with it and it doesn't come back to haunt you. And the next thing goes, you know, the next day comes and you're fine. But I'm here to say that like sometimes those decisions matter. So what I try to do now in my own life is really take the time to pause, which is I think where the reflection comes in. So take the time to pause and be mindful of the decisions that you're making. That's my biggest lesson out of, you know, growing out of this. I mean, I would say as a side note, because I take time to pause, I am very, very keenly aware of how hard it is to be transparent, right? Because in order to pause to make the right decisions, you have to allow yourself the freedom to be vulnerable and to be courageous. And so that is like sort of my second big takeaway about from my experiences. There will always be people that want to pass judgment. There will always be people that are naysayers. There will always be people that don't agree with my point of view. And that's okay. It's not my job to get them to like me. My job is to stay true to myself and be authentic and honor that in myself. I stand up and say what I fully feel and believe all the time. And that means that maybe people don't like me sometimes, and that's okay.
Yes. Here's another question. What's two things that you learned while you were in a federal prison?
How many things? I can tell you a whole list of them. How many do you want? Two?
I'm actually surprised that I didn't say three. Three is typically my go-to. I believe in the power of three so strongly, but I have so many questions for you that we're going to go with two today. Okay. What are two things that you learned being in a federal prison?
That every other woman is just like me. Mm-hmm. I recognize about myself that I would have likely passed judgment on the women that I met in prison in my, you know, what I call my previous life. Beforehand, it's not that I was a bad person. I was a really good person. I gave it back to my community, but I certainly passed judgment on others, I think. And so the first learning is that we are all connected. We are all universally the same. That was a huge learning for me. My second learning that I had was, this is a very practical thing. I learned how to crochet. I am not a domestic person at all. And I had who I called a prison mom, who I now still call mom now that she's out, you know, she taught me how to crochet, and it really showed me this whole other side of me that I never had explored. And I was in prison for Christmas that year in 2015. So I crocheted each of my kids a blanket for Christmas, and that was their Christmas gift from me. I also learned how to crochet bags and purses. And it was just this whole creative side of me that I mm-hmm. absolutely would never have had the time to explore. So those are probably the two biggest learnings that I got. You know, obviously there's so many more, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those are two. If I have to limit it right now.
I love it. No, thank you. You know, as you were talking, you've mentioned your children a couple of times. How did you balance being an amazing mom with facing your consequences, with making sure that you were talking to them about consequences?
Yeah. Their dad and I'm now divorced. And at the time, their dad and I were separated, but we were very committed to honoring our children with the truth. Mm-hmm. So after I got sentenced, we sat the kids down. And to give you some perspective, they were 9 and 10 at the time. Mm-hmm. And we sat them down and told them what had happened. And the way I did it was I put it in the context of sports because both of my children are athletes. I kind of gave them a metaphor and like a story. I told my son, who was playing flag football at the time, I said, you know, if the coach tells you to run a 5 and out and you might run a 7 and out because you just were in La La Land, you weren't paying attention or something, the coach will likely, you know, penalize you or, you know, keep you out for a set of downs or pull you out for a bit, whatever. And my daughter was playing soccer. So I said, you know, look, if you're on the soccer field and you're defending the goal and you just end up having a bad play or you shove the other kid or you end up kicking, you know, whatever, the coach might pull you out for a few minutes, right? There are consequences. Well, in real life, there are real life consequences. And mommy has made some bad choices and bad decisions 7 years ago, and she's now going to have to pay some consequences. So she's going to be gone for a year. So we told them, I remember at the time, my daughter, who was 9, literally she had been sitting next to me. She literally like jumped into my lap and started crying. And, you know, I don't think that she really kind of got it until you know, obviously as the weeks passed, I had 60 days to surrender. So I was able to travel with them a bit that summer. I drove them up to Chapel Hill to see my alma mater, UNC. And just that quality time with the kids gave them time to ask questions like, mommy, are you going to be safe? Mommy, what are you going to eat? Mommy, you know, like all the things that a child would worry about for their mother or father, really. But, you know, kids want to know that their parents or mom, in this case, their mom is going to come home to them safely, you know, in one piece. So that was the first thing I did. It was really important for me to have my children grow through this with me. I told myself early on that, and this is what I believe spiritually, that as much as my soul was going to learn some real life experiences in this lifetime through this experience of mine, so were my children. And that my kids, you know, had chosen me to be their mother in this life, and they were going to learn these lessons with me. And they are incredibly resilient. You know, I'll caveat that by saying I think children are in general very resilient, a lot more resilient than we think that they are. My kids are no exception. They're very resilient. They have experienced and watched not only their mom in prison, and they did come to visit me many times, and they experienced, you know, watching and seeing other people around me, you know, in the visitation room, and recognizing how much they had that these other children didn't have. My daughter started a nonprofit organization while I was still in prison that Christmas, because I remember it was Thanksgiving and she saw a bunch of these little kids running around, and she asked, we were talking about Christmas, right? Like, mm-hmm. what does she want for Christmas? And I told her I was making her a surprise and all the stuff. And she said, but mommy, what are those kids going to get for Christmas? And my kids are very blessed with love. And of course, you know, financially, my family has, you know, tried to support us, and they knew that they would have presents, right? Maybe not as much as before, but they would have presents. And, you know, it sounds sort of material and superficial, but to a kid, it's like everything. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I don't know, honey, I don't know if they're going to be able to have Christmas presents. Their mom's here, their dad's in another prison, and they don't really have resources like we do. You're really lucky. And my daughter came home that Thanksgiving. So it was like December 1st. She talked to my mom, and she ended up starting a nonprofit. It's called Gifts, Goods for Inmates Families to Share. She talked to her friends. She sent some emails out to my mom's friends, to my friends. She ended up raising like $1,000 that year. She, of course, with my mom's help became affiliated with the federal halfway houses here locally. And that Christmas, they came up to visit me on Christmas on the 26th. On the 25th, they went and she distributed, I think that year it was like 82 Christmas gifts from the money mm-hmm. she made.
Amazing.
And now that organization of hers, it's now 6 years later, she still does it every Christmas. She raises money. And so, you know, I think that it has taught her the value of recognizing that even when she was suffering, her mom wasn't there, she could still help others who were in, you know, not as blessed as she was.
You know, I see so much, what a privilege it is to have been able to have 60 days before you needed to turn yourself in. What a privilege it is for her to be able to visit you and to have inside of her heart, like, hey, I want to do something that is going to benefit others. That's just amazing. And I think the power of children being able to do exactly what we're here to talk about is turning their pain into purpose. And I love that she was really clear from what it sounds like on the purpose that I have right now is to provide other children whose parents are not with them, who are locked away, the opportunity to also have gifts inside of this time of giving. So that's amazing. That then pushes us into, what would you say your purpose is?
Oh gosh. Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting question. I mean, I feel like my purpose has evolved.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah. And I feel, so when I first came home and I started sharing my story, I think I was just kind of happy to be home and debriefing with my friends and family and not really focused on a purpose. And then as I began to discuss and talk more about ethics and integrity and this topic of ethical vigilance, that became my mission for a few years, like really spreading this idea of ethical decision-making and leadership. And now I would say over the last year, I still talk about that, but I really am more in the space of vulnerability and this topic, turning pain to purpose, right? And just recognizing that we are all human beings on the spectrum of life to make bad decisions and to learn from them and to share them. And now I'm on this mission to recognize the power of our humanity. Like I have the audacity to believe that we are all very forgiving of each other's humanity. And the power of connection, the power of relationships, the power of connecting, you know, whether it's to somebody in Australia or somebody sitting here in Miami that I don't know, you know, it's just that power of connection. And my mission now is to spread through my story, the power of redemption and, you know, overcoming anything by just recognizing each other's humanity.
Yeah. I like that. As you talked about how your purpose has definitely evolved over time, and I think that that's just natural with everyone, is I believe that your purpose is this thing that you're born with. And the difference of me being able to share my story within my purpose is the power of articulation. I believe sometimes folks haven't quite recognized what that thing is, but over time, as you're living in that thing called purpose and you're walking down this journey called life, that it evolves and it gets bigger and grander and grander. But the innate skills and this thing inside of you, this burning thing inside of you, is that purpose. I would like to believe that the purpose that you just shared, the purpose of authenticity, the purpose of driving this humanity into the world out of others, has always been there. Your experiences have really shaped how you manifest what that kind of looks like. But I believe that innately it's been there.
That's true.
Yeah, I absolutely do believe.
I agree with that. Yeah. There's a level of just a recognition that we have that purpose within us at all times. And it arises and shows up differently at different times in our lives because of our life experiences.
Yep.
Yeah. I really believe that sort of now that I'm here, of course I'm here. Right? Of course, this is my mission. It's interesting because for a long time, I wanted to be a politician. Like, for a long time, I thought I wanted to run for president.
I love it.
I think as a kid, I was like, I'm going to be the first female president of the United States. This is what I used to tell my dad when I was 10. Of course, now I could never be because of my conviction. But I feel like the purpose of me wanting to be president was just to make positive change and create positive change and help people. So now I feel like I'm still able to do that without the headache of campaigning and all of the other stuff that goes along with campaigning. So yeah, I mean, I'm just finding my way.
How would you tell someone, before we get into, I have this round that I call Come As You Are, but before we get to that, here's the question. How would you advise someone? How can they turn their pain into purpose?
I think you got to dig deep and allow yourself to be truly authentic and listen to what your gut is telling you. Mm-hmm. I think we all, when we go through pain, worry about what somebody else is going to think or say or do. We worry about our reputation. We worry about like how we're going to step one foot in front of the other. And for me, when I went through my pain, and I've seen others go through pain, it's having the courage to recognize, yeah, you can't belittle what you're going through. Yes, of course, whatever you're going through is terrible or hard or, you know, actually really physically painful. But if you can have enough courage to say, okay, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to grow from it? How can I help others through it? I think that that's the best way to ultimately find your purpose, to just sit there for a bit. Be open and vulnerable in talking about where you want to be and exploring and brainstorming and being with, you know, others that are aligned with you and love you and support you. You got to surround yourself with your constellation of stars, as I call it. So people will lift you up and be there for you when you need to convert that pain into purpose. You need your support system around you. So that to me is the first step of doing it. But it's a process for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. The Come As You Are round is where I throw questions at you and you just answer as you see fit. It's really a speed round. And so the first question, are you ready?
This is like Brené Brown, I feel like. Okay.
Yes. I love that comparison. I receive it all. The first question is, what is one strength that you have always had, but you didn't recognize it was a strength?
Oh gosh, self-reflection.
Tell me more. Say more.
You know, I would say as a kid, my self-reflection taught me to analyze too much and be really hard on myself. And now that self-reflection shows up more as self-awareness, listening to my feelings. I spent a large part of my life, I think, not feeling. You know, I wasn't allowed to feel or be emotional. And so now I'm very attuned to, I try to be what I'm feeling, where I want to go with it. So just the awareness of that, I think, is really helping me be a better mother, better friend, better sister, and hopefully better person in my community to help other people. So that self-reflection, self-awareness is one of my strengths that I think showed up in a negative way for many, many years, or could be perceived as negative in terms of the expectations that I place on myself. And now I'm able to convert that into a positive.
You know, self-reflection is difficult. It's difficult because it's that pause, right? It's that intentional pause.
Yeah.
And I remember, I've always self-discovered and been reflective, but my real discovery was when I turned 40. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 40, that type of discovery is different. There was also a lot of things that were happening in my life at the time. In 40s when I wrote my book, and my book is 17 Stops of Self-Discovery, literally. And it was such a reflective momentary interruption for me to be able to write out short stories of what I was going through and then help others to go through that same process. And I love that you said it's a strength, because so many people don't recognize that it's a strength. Absolutely.
You and I are aligned for some reason.
Yes. So good. Okay. Here's another question. Okay. What is one barrier that still stands before you today?
I think we all have limiting beliefs. I definitely have a limiting belief that there are others that have come before me already that have taken up space where I want to be at. You know, that's a limiting belief that is a weakness, I believe, because if I really allow myself to think through that and from a spiritual perspective, it's not true. Spiritually, I allow myself to recognize that whatever is meant for me is for me and nobody can take that from me. But that ends up being a block or a barrier sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you get caught up in the daily, you know, fast pace.
Absolutely.
And that seeps in and you kind of have to like keep pushing it out, right? So that, you know, I would say that that's one of my barriers. You know, I have another, I would say right now I have a financial barrier, right? There's a lot of financial hardship that I've experienced because of this. Another barrier is, of course, I lost my bar license. And so I am currently in the process of trying to get my bar license back in another state. I can't get it back in Florida. I have a very large restitution judgment against the victims in my case, which were three big banks. That ends up being a barrier because I can't own an asset. I can't take out a loan. I can't take out a mortgage. I'll be 50 this year in a couple months. And so that's hard as a 50-year-old woman to not be able to own assets, right? So that ends up being a barrier because it really creates limitations on what I can do. And it's sort of like baby steps. And I have such faith in God and the universe that I know it's coming. I know the abundance is coming. And I work every day towards that, you know, my book and a movie and all the stuff that I believe will come for me and about me, but it's just the baby steps in getting there.
It's interesting that you say the movie, because I think when I met you, the first thing I said after I heard your story is I can absolutely see this being on Lifetime. There you go. I'm putting it out in the atmosphere for you, right along with you, because not only do I think that this is something that can happen to an everyday woman, an everyday man, an everyday individual who goes through life. I mean, I love that you talked about the choices. People make bad choices. And I remember growing up and I remember my father always telling me, choices are what you make of them. They're yours and you got to own them. I love that that is part of your story, is not only owning it, but also being able to articulate in your story what went wrong. What are you owning? And then what are you doing as you move forward? And then how are you giving back so that others can see that they too don't have to make the mistakes? So I love that you shared all of that with us today. I want to say thank you so much for not only sharing your story, but for coming to Coaching Cocktails and Conversations. This last question I want to ask you, we give a cheers here on every episode. It is a cheers to the audience and all of those who have shown up around this kitchen table today. It's really a nugget that you want to leave with them, something that you want to reiterate, or just something that you might not have even said. But here's a cheers to what?
Oh, gosh. What comes to mind is cheers to all my soul sisters and you know, out there in the universe that I've yet to meet, those that I've already met, including you, for just all of us connecting and holding space together and continuing to build community around these conversations so that we can all grow together.
Yes. And my cheers to everyone here is cheers to perspective. Cheers to you always being open and willing to change the lenses that are on your glasses. And I think that perspective can absolutely shift us to a different atmosphere. You talked a little bit about it today. I just love it. Continue to tune in and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We have concluded another episode of Coaching Cocktails and Conversations with Lolita E. Walker. Connect with me at lolitawalker.com for speaking, coaching, and my book, The Intersection of You and Change. Next time, bring a friend. Cheers.